Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter, which you just heard read. The parable of the prodigal son is one of those Bible stories that even non-Christians are familiar with. The word prodigal is not found in the Bible. It comes from the Latin word prodigus, meaning lavish and extravagantly wasteful. And while you know the story quite well, perhaps you might be surprised to learn which character in the parable appears to be the greater prodigal. As our text opens, sinners and tax collectors have come by faith to listen to Jesus' teaching. And this causes the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, who are content in their works and deeds, it causes them to grumble aloud that Jesus would receive and eat with sinners. He replies in our text to both groups of people, both the sinners and tax collectors and the religious leaders, to illustrate God's glorious kingdom. Now our text skips over to other parables. In the first parable, the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep out in the open country as he searches and finds the lost one, to which Jesus says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And in the second parable that is omitted, a woman who has lost one of her 10 coins lights a lamp, sweeps and searches the house until she finds that one lost coin. And at that point, she calls their neighbors and wants them to come and rejoice and celebrate with her, to which Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy before angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, the first two parables point towards the sinners. The third parable, the prodigal son, points both at the self-righteous and the sinner. All three parables have a theme of recovering something that which was lost and the great rejoicing once the lost is found. And this is why Jesus receives and eats with sinners. Our Lord desires that all who are lost be found by his life-saving gospel. And once they are found, all heaven rejoices over the lost one who repents and believes in the gospel. Now, in the third parable, the focus is not exclusively on two sons or one son. Its focus is on the father. Jesus says, there was a man who had two sons. He is a good and gracious father. He is good and loving to both of his sons, but neither son appreciate their father. The younger son is a picture of the tax collectors and the sinners prior to coming to faith. And the older son is a picture of the religious leaders. The younger son neither loves nor appreciates his father's love and generosity. He doesn't want to wait for his dad to die to receive his inheritance. It's as if he wants him dead today. Dad, give me my portion of the inheritance. So the prodigal father gives it to him. Now I say prodigal father because this father in the parable is extraordinarily wasteful, we might say, with what belongs to him. The father complies to the younger son's demands. And notice in verse 12 that it says, and he divided his property between them. The father hands over all of his inheritance, all of his possessions, with no concern to himself, no lectures, no stipulations, no strings attached. He divides it according to proportion. And the interesting thing is, in the Jewish culture of the day, the inheritance is not divided 50-50 as we would think it would be today. But in that day, the older son received 2/3 of the inheritance, and the younger only 1/3. So soon after, the younger prodigal son takes his third and flees far from his father's love, squandering all that he has been given. And what the son thought would bring him joy and happiness and freedom, it just leads him further away from the father. His reckless living leaves him hungry and humiliated and deep in despair. Now the older self-righteous son, on the other hand, he is a sinner as well. He has sinned against his family because he never attempted to reconcile dad and brother. He never tried to talk his brother out of leaving home. And although he did not ask for his portion of the inheritance, he certainly never refused it, leaving his father with nothing. He not only gladly received his portion, he sat on his riches and watched his younger brother walk off to his death. When his brother returns, the older brother could care less that his younger brother is alive, because he is secure in his self-righteousness. He's proud of his work ethic and his loyalty. He's so full of himself, he has no time for compassion for his brother. And he is insulted that dad would graciously receive this younger son back into the family who squandered his portion. He's offended at the father's joy of being reconciled back with his son. So when you look at the parable, do you see yourself in any of the characters? Perhaps you are the younger son and at one point of your life went through a rebellion against God, or some sort of a midlife crisis where you chased after the excitement in the world or pleasures of the world or romance. Only God and you know the skeletons in your closet. But every one of us are susceptible to the devil's temptations. St. Paul says, all have turned aside. No one does good, not even one. When you spurn the Father's love, you are lost. You're lost in a pig pen in a distant land, left in spiritual hunger, humiliation, and deep despair. And the ultimate result is your spiritual death. Perhaps you identify with the older son. You've always done what was expected of you, and you are now preoccupied with your status and your possessions and your work. And like the older son, you're angry and jealous when you perceive others as receiving more than they deserve, receiving more blessings than you feel that you received. You look down on all those other sinners over there, especially because you believe that you live a more holy and pious life. You delight because you avoided all that riotous and salacious living. And in your self-righteousness, you too despise the Father's love, leaving you estranged from God, suffering bitterness and spiritual death. In our parable, when the younger son hits rock bottom, he's in the pig pen, and he comes to his senses. He remembers the boundless love of his father, and by the grace and strength of God, he decides that although he has forsaken his father's love, he will return as a servant in contrition and confess his sins against his father and his sin against heaven. Our text says he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Even before the younger son gets home, before he has a chance to confess his sin, The Father is watching down the road. The Father sees him and is filled with compassion and runs out to the Son and welcomes him with open arms. In the original language, this word translated as compassion is only used by Jesus when Jesus has compassion on others or when he uses it in a parable. And it means to be moved with pity and compassion so much that the inward parts of the body are churning and knotted. When the Son tries to confess his sin, the Father interrupts him. He doesn't want to hear it. He has compassion. In his love, he restores the younger son back into the family, clothing him with the robe, giving him a ring and shoes. He calls for the fattened calf to be killed for celebration. So the father in the parable is not showing favoritism, although it is his right. He showered his love upon the older son as well, pleading with him to join the celebration. While the older son disowns the younger, the father lovingly explains what the older son's self-righteous eyes refuse to see. He said to him, "So, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." The older son didn't realize that being with the father is its own reward. All that belonged to the father belonged to the son. Not just in future inheritance, but in the present now. The riches of the father were already the son's to enjoy. And the last verse in our parable is very instructive for us. The father says to the older son, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. The word fitting can also be translated as necessary. The father thought that the son was dead, but now he is alive. And not only that, there's one thing much worse than physical death. And that's being lost, being spiritually lost. It was necessary to celebrate and be glad, for the one who had previously been spiritually lost is now found. He is restored to life. It was necessary to celebrate and be glad, for there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Your heavenly Father is a much greater Father than the one in our parable. For your heavenly Father extravagantly and lavishly spreads out his love and his mercy. He doesn't cast it out foolishly into the wind for no purpose, but because of the perfect life, death, and resurrection of his only begotten Son, your heavenly Father extravagantly and lavishly pours out his rich love and mercy upon all mankind. And for the sake of Jesus, all that belongs to the Father now belongs to yours. It's your present tense reality. It is yours today. You have life, forgiveness, and eternal salvation. Whichever son that you identify with, God sends his Holy Spirit, working through the sternness of his law and the sweetness of his gospel, to call you to turn in repentance, return to faith in Christ Jesus. He bids you to return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And to paraphrase King David's words when he repented over his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, according to God's steadfast love and his abundant mercy, He will blot out all your transgressions. He will wash you thoroughly from your iniquity and cleanse you from your sin. So celebrate the Father's love and his grace by receiving it in repentance and faith, trusting solely in Christ Jesus for your salvation, and not only celebrating your God-given gifts, but unlike the older son in the parable, celebrate those blessings that God pours out on your neighbor. Our Lord is extravagant and lavish. It is his prerogative. He pours out as he sees. He shows no partiality. Christ atoned for all sin of all mankind. And God has adopted you, even while you were spiritually dead. And in baptism, he made you a new creation. So you and I are in no position to begrudge the Father when he extravagantly lavishes his gifts upon others, no matter how unworthy they appear. In our epistle text, St. Paul describes what this looks like in the life of the Christian. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Meaning, you don't have to live like tax collectors and sinners anymore. You don't have to live like scribes and Pharisees, because you are a new creation in Christ. Christians don't act that other way. Christ has made peace between you and the Father, reconciling you back with the Father. And he has given you the ministry of reconciliation, entrusting to you the message of reconciliation. Therefore, you are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through you. You are the one who makes the appeal. Time is short. Spiritually lost people die every day, destined to eternal damnation. And it is fitting and necessary that those of us who have already received the extravagant and lavish gifts of grace from the Father, those who are no longer spiritually lost, but now are found, that we be witnesses to those who don't know the Father. Give testimony of Christ and him crucified for sinners. Sinners of all stripes who are spiritually lost, because they need to know the love of the Father, his gracious reconciliation, and his forgiveness. Your Heavenly Father's love is extravagant for all mankind, and he calls us to celebrate that love by telling others of his compassion and desire for the salvation of all the lost. His desire is so great that he sent this man to receive and eat with sinners. He didn't die on the cross for the righteous. He shed his blood and gave his life for sinners such as you and me. It is fitting and necessary to celebrate and be glad, for you were once lost, now you are found. You were once dead, but now you are alive. You were once lost, and now you are found. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.